That's not the paper I want. All right, now, for the sermon this week, now that I've given a mini sermon already, what was the challenge I gave everybody last week that was here in church? Who remembers?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, come on time. How many, that was the challenge. I said we're going to start every week giving people a challenge to see how we can improve our church community. And the first challenge is get here on time. And what time does service start every Sunday except the Greek Festival Sunday?
10
o'clock. All right? So if we can't come on time, we probably won't be able to do bigger and better things in our community. So if you weren't up for the challenge today, that's okay. I resisted the urge to stop liturgy at 10 o'clock and congratulate people who are here. But you can just start next Sunday. Come on time. If you don't have an alarm clock, I've got actually a few spares. So just tell me when you come up front here and I'll bring you one next Sunday, but I want you to be coming on time. Now, the other day I visited a nursing home, visited some parishioners, and as I was making my way out of the nursing home, they introduced me to some of the nursing home staff. And they said, "This is our priest. He's from the Greek church." And the response was, "I love the Greek church because they have great baklava." So I'm standing here in my collar, and I wanted to say, "Well, you know, we also have Jesus Christ and the gospel and salvation." And I wish there would be a year that would happen that would come along when someone introduced me and they'd be like, "Oh, the Greek church, those are the people who have the great theology, or the people who have the moving services for the people who are really charitable in the community." So that's like one of my goals. At some point, and I'm not even gonna try and do it in the next year, just at some point in my life, and hopefully I'll live a long time, but at some point in my life, I want someone to introduce me and the reaction to be not having to do with food. So that's my challenge. Now, the question, we'll open with a few questions today. Raise your hand if you've taken a shower in the last 24 hours. I hope every hand is up. If you haven't, maybe you need to leave early. Why do people take showers? Why? Somebody who takes a shower. Why do you do that? Mr. Nick in the back. To get clean. All right. And how many people here would ever go a week without taking a shower? Anybody here want to try that? Well, there's one hand, there's a very young person back there. What would be the consequences of you going a week without a shower?
Go hunting.
What?
Go hunting.
You'd go hunting? Because you would attract all the animals, right? You should be smelly like they are. What would be the consequences if you went a week without taking a shower? Nobody wants to be around you. How many people work in close proximity to somebody? How many people work like in an office or someplace where there are other people around? Do you think those people would want to sit near you? Do you think you'd have anyone to sit with you in the lunchroom? How about in school? Everyone kind of move their desks away from you because you would stink and no one would want to be around you. Now, how long is your average shower? What?
45 minutes.
Who said 45 minutes? Wow, 45 minutes. Anybody else want to confess? Long shower? 15 minutes. All right, most of us probably spend now. If we took the time to take a shower and you take the time that you are doing other things to prepare yourself, like your hair, your makeup, other things. I mean, how many people spend in excess of half an hour on personal hygiene today? How many people spend in excess of half an hour? How many people spend at least 10 minutes on personal hygiene? That's probably everybody. All right. Now, the purpose of the shower is to physically cleanse yourself, right? And you wouldn't dare go a day without doing that because you would feel uncomfortable, and pretty soon other people around you would feel uncomfortable. So my sermon this morning is actually about prayer. And I want you to think about prayer like you think about taking a shower. How many people, I'm not going to ask you to put up hands, but just rhetorically, how many people in their lives go a week without prayer? All right, probably lots of people in the world go a whole week without prayer. And what are the consequences of when you go without prayer for a week? Well, just like when you go without a shower, you physically stink. when you go for a week without prayer, spiritually, you stink. You kind of lose your focus. You kind of lose your center. It's a lot easier for you to get angry at every little thing. A lot easier for you to get angrier when you're driving, or impatient, or despondent, or lots of other negative things that happen when you're not spiritually cleansed. It's hard to, as I said, it's hard to maintain any sense of spiritual cleanliness without prayer, just like you can't be physically clean without taking a shower. Now, the human being, us, all of us human beings, we're made up of three things. We each have a body, we each have a mind, and we each have a spirit. Now, what do you think the spirit is tied to? The body or the mind? The spirit is tied to the mind. That's because our faith is a rational faith. It's not a blind faith. It's not a take my word for it faith. It's a rational faith. That's why animals don't have faith the way we do, because they're not rational beings the way that we are. And prayer is what cleanses not just the spirit, but the mind. Prayer cleanses both the spirit and the mind at the same time. A good way to look at prayer, you've all heard the word brainwashing, and brainwashing has kind of a negative connotation. In fact, lots of times people put brainwashing and the church in the same sentence. Like, you go to church and they just kind of brainwash you there. Right, that's kind of a negative connotation. Let's take that word, let's turn it around. You go to the church, and you go to God in prayer, and you do the other spiritual things, and it washes your brain. We don't brainwash here, we wash brains here. And while we're washing brains, we wash spirits too, because the brain and the spirit are together. All right, I use this as an example at summer camp. I asked the kids, I said, how many of you in pornography school? All right, nobody put up their hand. I said, what do you think about people who look at pornography? And then they're looking about people start training their negative things. So then I said, well, I have a confession. I said, I recently looked at a lot of pornography. Of course, every mouth in camp dropped. They said, oh my gosh, Father, you. I said, yes, I drove from Canada up I-75 to Atlanta, I-85 in South Carolina, and I passed at least 150 pornographic billboards. Most of them are between here and Gainesville. I just drive 2 hours north and you'll see plenty of garbage. Just as part of the scenery. I can't even take a drive in the country without having my brain polluted by stuff that's just part of the atmosphere. I'm sure there's probably a few things on Kennedy and other streets here in Tampa. You don't have to go to Gainesville. Just go in the local mall. Go past some of the clothing stores there and you will see inappropriate things, whether you want to or not. So, prayer, and by extension worship, helps to cleanse our brains from all the filth that they partake in voluntarily or involuntarily just by being alive and walking the streets of Tampa. Now, the difference between a shower and prayer is that prayer does require some thought. You can get into the shower and be on autopilot, but if you're going to pray to God sincerely, you're going to have to engage in your mind as well. We heard in the gospel that Jesus, even the Son of God, went away by himself to pray. He went to pray, he went to recharge himself, and he went alone. And at summer camp, we have this wonderful thing on our schedule called Alone with God. We just stick it there every morning. After our morning prayer service, we put 15 minutes on the calendar, and we sit alone with God. We sit alone with our thoughts. There's a book, I don't know if we sell it in our bookstore. If we don't, we can get it. It's a very short book, and it's called Beginning to Pray. It's by Archbishop Anthony Bloom. And Archbishop Anthony, who lives in England, in this book he talked about how one starts to pray to God if one has never done that before. And he says, you get a quiet corner in your house, you set an icon there, and you just sit and you stare at the icon. In fact, the line in the book says, I look at God, God looks at me, and we're happy together. And he challenges people to sit and stare at the icon for 10 minutes a day for 30 days and see what happens. So let's say you've never prayed before. And so you get an icon, you stick it on the floor or stick it on the wall of your house, and you just sit there for 10 minutes a day. And you just sit in silence. And you commit to doing that for 30 days. At some point, in the 300 minutes that you're going to be sitting there, you're probably going to open your mouth just out of curiosity, if nothing else. And you're probably going to say something to that icon, like, well, since I am happy to be here anyway, let me just try this out. And you will address something to God. And that's where the relationship with God will start to take root. The minute that you open your heart and you say something sincere, now you've opened the dialogue and you've taken your first step on a journey that for some people ends with incredible experience. We hear about the monks and the nuns and the saints who pray constantly. We hear about them seeing things like angels. We hear about them talking directly to the Virgin Mary. We hear about some concept called the uncreated light that they behold. That's a beautiful thing. Right? This is very foreign to all of us probably, because we haven't engaged in prayer to the degree that they have. So whatever, if you're not in the habit of praying, set some time aside on your calendar to be alone with God. And how much time is appropriate? Well, take the average amount of time you spend in the shower, or maybe not 45 minutes if you can't afford that, at least 10 to 15 minutes, and give that to God and say, I'm going to sit in dialogue with you, alone with you, for 10 to 15 minutes a day. And alone means no iPod, no music, no TV, no distractions, alone. Now, I know we're all busy. Everybody's busy. Some more busy than others. Some crazy busy. But not one day goes by in our busy, busy lives that we don't take a shower. We somehow managed to get that in no matter how busy we are. I remember when our son was an infant and would sleep, you know, minimally, and we would only have an hour of sleep at a time. For those who are parents, you remember what that's like. They say you forget, but you don't. You remember what that's like, and you say, I'm so busy that if I had any free moment of the day, I would sleep. That's actually not true. In some of those free moments, even on the most busy days, I still found time to take a shower. I never missed a shower. I might have missed a few days of prayer. I might have missed a few days of saying hello to my wife. I might have missed a few days of work. But I didn't miss one day of taking a shower. And thankfully, neither did she. But we never miss that. So why then would we miss the opportunity to dialogue with our Creator? If you spend 10 minutes a day total with God, you just take 5 minutes and sit alone in silence. 5 minutes. You're going to accomplish a lot in 5 minutes in terms of prayer and dialogue. You can bring to your mind a lot of people. You can bring to mind a lot of needs in 5 minutes. And then I want you to spend 5 minutes of idle time. All right, what is idle time? People say, I'm busy, I have no idle time. When you're in traffic and you're driving, that's idle time. You're stuck in the car, but you're alone with your thoughts. Some people stick on the radio, some people unfortunately are shaving and doing other things, but you're stuck there in your car, that's idle time. I may be working in my office, and for 5 minutes a day I'm in front of the copy machine, watching copies. All right, technically I'm working because I'm getting something done, but my mind isn't occupied because I'm watching the copy. Go 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, that's idle time that I'm standing there. I could offer a prayer in that idle time. I could offer a prayer in the car. I could offer a prayer while I'm unpacking my groceries. I could offer a prayer while I'm mowing the lawn, getting the mail, and a lot of other idle things that we all do that are mentally idle, but physically occupying. So the challenge for you this week is to spend at least 10 minutes a day in prayer with God. At least 5 minutes in sitting silently, alone with God, doing nothing else physically other than sitting. And 5 minutes of your idle time, spend that talking to God. Every night when I go to sleep, I fall asleep praying the Jesus prayer. I do it on every two breaths. I say, Lord Jesus Christ, I inhale, Son of God, I exhale, have mercy, inhale, on me a sinner, exhale. And I fall asleep very quickly. Sometimes it only takes me a minute or two. Once I start saying that prayer, I fall asleep. All right? When I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't go back to sleep, again, I do it, inhaling, exhaling. I close my eyes and I can see an icon of Jesus Christ.
In fact, it's not the big one, it's not the one up there, it's the little icon that's in front of the icon screen.
I own one of those, and I've spent a lot of time praying in front of it, and I've memorized all of its features. So I close my eyes and I see that icon as I'm going to bed at night. I see that in the middle of the night when I can't sleep. When I'm in the car, I don't pray with my eyes closed. That's not healthy for anybody. But I take my prayer rope and I take it in the car and I go knot by knot and I can say the Jesus prayer, or I bring to mind names of people that I want to pray for. And on the way to work on an average day, I can hit about 150 different names. And when I run out of names that I can remember, I start praying in generalities. I start praying for teachers or doctors or firefighters or students or people who are sick and people who take care of them. And when you start praying in generalities, you never run out of types of people to pray for. Again, the challenge of this week is what? Prayer. How much time?
10 minutes.
How much time at least by yourself alone, unplugged from everything?
5 minutes.
And what was the challenge of last week? On time. So if we're building a foundation for ourselves as Christians, come on time next week, 10 o'clock. So 10 minutes a day, it's all easy, it's all tens. Come on time at 10 o'clock. Pray 10 minutes. Divide 10 by 2. 5. 5 alone, 5 in idle time, and you are on your way to making a great foundation, a new foundation for your spiritual life. Have a wonderful and blessed week. Thanks for sharing a beautiful service this morning, and wonderful out to everybody who's going to celebrate tomorrow. Amen.